It's the Gadget Grill for the 1st of March. Is it the 1st of March?
It is the 1st of March.
Yeah, the 1st of March, 2009. I'm Lee Stark.
I am Gary Stark. Good evening.
Good evening, sort of. Yes, good
it,
evening.
It is actually a very pleasant evening outside. What the hell are we doing inside?
I can't smell anything, so, you know, that's what I'm doing inside. My nose is blocked.
If your nose is running and your feet smell, you realise that your body's upside down?
Yeah, well, we are down under, so that sort of makes sense.
Okay, how are you? You've obviously got a cold.
Yeah, I'm not doing very well. I'm infecting the airwaves.
You've actually caught my cold from last week, no doubt.
Thank you for that.
It is better to give than receive.
And here I thought Kaspersky antivirus was protecting me from you, but it doesn't.
Of course not. Nothing can protect you from me.
Not when I'm this close to you, no.
Welcome to the Gadget Grill, listener. We've got a wonderful action-packed show for you today.
Sort of, yes. No, we don't have an action.
We've got a feature-packed show.
We've got a feature-packed show for you.
Okay. Well, what's on the agenda for today, Mr. Stark?
Well, tonight we're talking about a new service that's given to, or that's being offered to sick kids, basically, called Livewire. We'll be talking with the director of the program tonight about it.
He is a very interesting man, and the project is, I think it's a very exciting project.
Yeah, it's very creative and very cool, and it's the sort of thing that you probably don't realize is needed. You know, when you think of things like Facebook and Twitter, you don't think about the sort of people who can't normally use that, and this is just a really genius idea put into action.
Absolutely.
And it's a really well thought out idea that's been put into action.
They've certainly done a lot of work on it. They got the support of the Australian Federal Police. The Minister for Communications, Senator Conroy, was there at the opening when we did this as well, the official launch.
Yeah, I didn't exactly put any of his stuff in here because he didn't sound quite as passionate about as everyone else did.
He's a politician.
Yeah, I guess passion is something that does lack in those sorts of areas.
Oh, now. How can you say such a thing?
Because I can.
Okay, yeah, sounds reasonable to me.
Oh, we've also got some news. You know, there's always some news.
We've got some exciting news.
We've got
news.
Some interesting pieces of news today. One that could actually save people money.
That's always useful, isn't
it? Yeah, well, it'll save geeks money. It won't save the regular person.
Better to have the money in my pocket than in theirs.
Well, that depends. I mean, I don't really like my money in your pocket.
I didn't say my pocket.
You did say your pocket.
Okay. Yeah. I did too, didn't I?
You did. But before we get on to everything in this program, let's play some music. This is Poe with Hey Pretty.
What's all this? I've heard about a 2-hour DJ competition.
We're giving our listeners the opportunity to win a copy of Microsoft Office 2008 for Mac, valued at over $800.
Awesome! How does that work?
Well, it's not hard to win. All you've got to do is create a slogan for your favourite 2RDJ program and submit it online at www.radio2rdj.com. Alternatively, fax your slogan to 9744 1088 or mail it to Post Office Box 1088, Burwood North, New South Wales 2134. Don't forget to tell us the program your slogan is for and include your name and contact details.
I bet it's going well.
Exactly. It's so popular that we've extended the closing date to March the 8th. The winning entry will be used on the air and score the copy of Office 2008 for Mac. You've got to be in it to win, so get cracking on your slogan now.
It's the Gadget Grill on Radio 88.1 or Radio 2RDJ. Also available on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. And the Gadget Grill, which is us, we're available on the internet at www.gadgetgrill.com.au.
And that is where you'll find me and Lee.
And lots of information there, reviews, videos. We've put up videos this week, starting to put up videos.
Oh, yes. You know? You can see us in...
No, you can't. If you were to see us, I think we'd lose listenership.
We stop at that. We do have a little bit of...
dignity?
Well, a little bit of compassion for the listener.
Yeah, we don't want to blind them or deafen them. Well, we already deafened them. We don't want to blind them.
Not with the shirt I'm wearing today.
Oh, wow, yeah. What's that TV show from the 80s?
That was Magnum P. This is not the Magnum shirt.
Okay, all right.
This is not the Magnum.
You're wearing the Moo Moo today.
I'm wearing the Moo Moo, yes. Okay. I do have a Magnum shirt at home.
All right. You want to start with some news?
Let's start with some news. You want to go first while I can find mine?
Sure. I'll start with mine here. I'm just going to go quickly in some gaming news. There's news about the new Nintendo DS coming out in April. I think it's April 1 or April 3. I think it's April 1.
April 1 is appropriate for games.
Shut up. And it's a new DS. It's basically the same DS as they had before. It loses the slot 2, so you can't play Game Boy Advance games. Has two cameras built into it. Has an SD slot, which is going to make it a lot easier for people to break it and hack it.
Yes.
Sony, in the meantime, are readying a PlayStation Portable 2 because their last effort, the PSP, wasn't very successful. They've released three or four.
Was the PSP a POS?
Yeah, PSP was a POS. There were some good games for it, but not many in general. And we're hoping that the next version will have a touch screen and a larger screen. That was its main forte. It had this really fantastic screen to watch movies on. But it looks like they're going to go without their proprietary UMD format this time.
A good thing.
That was like a mini disc with its sides cut off, and every time you exposed it to air, you risked killing it. So.
That is not a good thing.
Yeah, so they're going without the UMD this time. So, yeah, that's my bit of gaming news. Go into something.
Okay, well, Telstra are now making available to all consumer customers what it says is an innovative service. I'm surprised they didn't say it was a new innovation.
Oh, a new innovation. Old innovation.
They did not say that, no.
Okay.
So we can't do that.
Damn.
The conversion of voicemail to text after encouraging feedback from its business customers using the new service. The company says consumer customers can now take advantage of the Telstra voice-to-text service.
How accurate is it?
We'll come to that in a moment. Which allows users to read their voice messages by converting voicemail to text. Telstra Consumer Executive Director Glenys McLellan said today customers who subscribe to the voice service had their voicemail messages converted to text and then sent to their mobile phone as an SMS. Voice-to-text subscribers will see the caller ID in the text message, allowing them to easily call or text straight back. Customers also have the option of listening to their voice messages, there's a concept, by simply calling Message Bank in the normal way. According to McLellan, voice-to-text is simple, easy to use and saves customers valuable time.
Does this go somewhere? Are you reading the entire story?
No, I'm not going to read the entire story.
Okay.
Of course, what they don't say in the story is how much it is actually going to cost.
Or if it'll actually work. I want to try it out. If someone from Telstra is listening, I want to try this out. I want to see how good of an accent and how good your text service is, because we've tried out Adobe's SoundWave technology, and that's somewhat good. That's about a 70% accuracy. I'm betting theirs isn't quite that good, so I'm curious to see just how good it measures a drunken drawl of an Australian speech, an American-sounding voice.
Your Friday night state.
My Friday night state. I'm very curious to see if we can get someone to sound like Sol Trujillo and see if it can work out what he's saying. You know, being that he's leaving, he can give a goodbye speech.
Yeah, but that will go away on the 30th of June.
That will. iiNet are offering free Wi-Fi at some of the Starbucks in Australia.
Oh, that's interesting. There's about three left, aren't there?
There's three or four left in Sydney.
So that's to counter the unwired that you get at Gloria Jean.
Well, Telstra have gotten out of it. Because Telstra were at them. If you went to a Starbucks before, you had to pay money for the Telstra stuff. It was expensive. I know because I was curious.
Hang on. This was Telstra and you're saying it was expensive.
Well, we don't know how expensive your last Telstra story is.
That's true. Yeah. But my point is that I'm shocked that Telstra service was expensive.
The iiNet stuff, Dan Warren over at APC, friend of mine, he's been saying to on this that iiNet customers can log in with their username and get up to 100 meg free. Did you just drop a coin?
No, that was actually a name being dropped.
Okay, cool. iiNet customers can log in with the username, get up to 100 meg free, whereas non-iiNet customers will need to see how much it costs in store. My guess is it's not immediately friendly to...
I'd imagine that the iiNet going into Starbucks would be relatively inexpensive. That's the way iiNet are. They're pretty good like that.
You'd hope so. You got something?
Yes. Netcom. An Australian developer and supplier of high-performance broadband communication devices...
Please don't read the entire story.
No, I won't. ...says it is preparing to launch what it claims is the world's first 21 megabit per second embedded 3G router with all the bells and whistles, with the looming launch of 31 megabit networks worldwide. So I guess the bells and whistles are going to... They're going to interfere with the signal. You're not going to get a damn thing coming through.
The bells and whistles will be what, a driver disc?
Probably, yeah. Showcasing the design of its prototype 21 megabit per second HSPA plus wireless router, The number is a 3G21W at the GSMA Mobile World Congress in Barcelona.
Which was just recently.
And it's where Sol lost his...
lost his reason to stay in
power. Netcom says that with the imminent launch of 21 megabits per second networks, it is working with a partner company, Sierra Wireless, to launch its prototype 211 megabits per second mobile broadband router. That is actually quite fast.
Yeah, that's really fast.
Yeah, I think that's going to be...
Is 50...
That's actually 21 megabits per second, not 211.
Okay, so it's not that fast.
It's not that fast, but that's still fast for wireless and for something that's going to be portable wireless. So that's going to be something that's going to be very interesting to see as it develops and as it becomes available. It'd be a nice thing to carry around in the back of your car so you can listen to the internet radio while you're driving around.
Yeah, okay. You're not ever going to be able to set this up. You do realize that. You're not ever going to be able to set this up.
We're going to have a bet on this, are we?
You're not ever going to be able to set this up this year. How about that?
Okay, I believe it.
Yeah. Epson,
this year. I reckon it'll happen this year.
Yeah, of course you do. Keep dreaming. Epson have announced this weekend the follow-up to their RD1, which was a model of camera that most people will never get to see, including us here at the Gadget Grill.
Should talk to Epson and get a copy.
I don't think Epson Australia have one, to be honest.
That wouldn't surprise me. I've only seen one of these cameras when I was in Hong Kong a couple of years ago.
You've got to let me explain what it is.
Yes.
It's a Leica. Now, people who listen to the show might know what a Leica is. Sort of the creme de la creme of 35mm cameras. This is an Epson-made version of a Leica with a winding mechanism that actually extends to the digital section. Now, this new update of it, the RD1 XG, it didn't have the XG before it, is black, which was, I think it was silver and grey before.
Silver, yeah, that sort of looked a bit like a bit
before. It's got the same 6-megapixel resolution, but now it has Adobe RGB support and shoots onto SDHC with RAW and JPEG, which it didn't have before.
Because before it was on a CF.
It will cost you $3,000 to grab one of these things.
And how much does the glass cost? Well, the glass, you can still use the old Leica glass, which is even more expensive than the body.
We should talk about two other things here. One is the Australian censorship scheme, which is something we've talked about before. It's not very friendly, and it's probably the worst decision our Labour overlords have suggested in the past, since they've been in office. It looks like it's being knocked down, thankfully. It looks like Liberals are knocking it down, which is sort of weird.
Anyone got $42 billion they want to get rid of?
The censorship regime, our tier 1, tier 2 system, it's not quite dead yet. We're still going to have to protest a little bit more. But
it is in its death throes.
Yeah, it looks like it's actually going to be voted down. And
This is a good thing.
I'm just a bit confused. I would have thought that when Liberals in power, this was the sort of thing they would have brought in and the Labors would have knocked it down. Why is it the other way around all of a sudden?
I have no idea, and that's probably true of the government as well.
I'm going to do this last one here. This is the thing that will save you money. AMD last year released a version of their Phenom chips called the X3s. Now, these X3s, I'll just give a bit of background. The Phenom was their quad-core processor, their X4, so like the Intel quad-core. The new version of the Phenom 2, has the X3s as well. The X3s are supposed to be quad-core chips with one core disabled. Basically, the idea was that you get a tri-core, three-core processor, so it's still fast. It's faster than your duo cores. And the reason you're getting that speed increase is because one of the cores has died on the production assembly. Well, that's apparently not the case, because some people have been playing with a motherboard from Mob called BioStar.
Can I give this chip mouth-to-mouth resuscitation?
Well, you don't have to. If you've got a BioStar motherboard, you can turn an option labeled Advanced Clock Calibration to Auto, and that will turn the fourth core on. So are AMD lying to its customers that these tri-cores are in fact not
You're
working?
Suggesting that somebody in marketing might lie?
No, I'd never. Misleading, good. Maybe, but not lying.
Good, okay. I'd hate to think that was happening.
If you end up picking one of these Phenom 2 X3s and you save yourself $100 from the X4s, you might actually have an X4 system. So, congratulations, you've just saved yourself $100 to $200.
Ding, 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 you get the bonus.
Yeah.
You get the bonus, you get to pass go, you get to collect $200.
Check to see if your motherboard in the BIOS, if you have one of these, the Phenom 2X3, not the old ones. But check.
Very good.
Check to see if you have an option for something like the advanced clock calibration. If you do have that, congratulations, you've just saved $100, $200 on a chip.
Well done. And you get to listen to this next music piece.
You do. I always struggle to pronounce this name, but he is really cool. What do you think his name is pronounced
as? I would pronounce it as Bon Iver.
Yeah, that's what I would, but I keep being corrected by my girlfriend as Bon Iver. Iver, it's Bon Iver or Bon Iver?
You say yeah. Iver, it's Iver or Iver.
That's right. Yeah, and this is
Iver, 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 Iver. Let's call the whole thing off. This is Brackett, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah, and it's from this new CD called Dark Was the Night, which is really impressive.
You've been working hard all morning and now it's time to relax for lunch. What better place than with your pals in the shed? And what better shed than the one right here on Tuesdays on 2RDJ between 1 and 3?
So please come and join Peter Worthington, that was him, and me, Gary Stark. We're your pals in the shed on 2RDJ FM 88.1.
And don't forget your lunch.
Radio 88.1 Radio 2RDJ. This is the Gadget Grill with Lee and Gary Stark.
I am somewhere around here. Just let me look under the desk.
I just really want to thank you for giving me this cold. My nose is killing me.
Oh, it is a pleasure. Yeah, it's a pleasure to give, always.
Yeah, always good to give bugs onto family.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, how many things did you give me when you were growing up?
I gave you some Father's Day presents, I'm sure.
Maybe one or two. Yeah. feature of the week. We've got... we're going to talk about, what's it called?
It's called Livewire.
Livewire, that's thing, livewire.org.au. Go to that website and have a look around. It is truly an amazing site. The concept of this is, it is Facebook for children who have got serious illnesses. Unless you have a serious illness, you can't really get involved fully in the program.
So, get sick. No, in actuality, don't get sick. Most people don't think of social networking, things like Twitter and Facebook. You don't think about them. What if you're in hospital? Can you really relate to the people who aren't in hospital? It's not something we usually think about. And in this case, it's really important. This is a really important social networking technology that they've come up with here.
Exactly. What they've done is they've developed their own internal network. It is isolated from the rest of the world. It is protected. And everyone who wants to join actually gets vetted. Everything is fully moderated. And the concept is that this allows people who have got illnesses, disadvantaged, if you like, to communicate with other people with similar issues so that you get this initial empathy that already starts off with these people so they can talk about their problems, get support, and they don't have to worry about being judged or anything like that. It is very, very good. And the reports that come in from the kids who are party to this already, who have been involved in the beta program, are just absolutely wonderful. They love it. They're involved. It is building up their self-esteem. It is just so good for them.
Dad and I had the opportunity to speak with the director, Omar Khalifa, I think his name is.
Khalifa, yes.
Yeah. We had the opportunity to speak to him about it. Was it last week or the week before?
It was Thursday the week before at the opening. We took him aside for a few minutes. He was very gracious with his time, and we thank you, Omar, for that.
Yep.
And this is what he had to say.
Well, Livewire is really an online community that's been specifically designed for kids who have either a chronic condition, or serious illness, or a disability. And it's really very much like a Facebook or MySpace, but it's designed specifically for these young people from the ages of 10 to 21.
How does it work? How do you join up?
Look, joining is really easy. It's just basically going to livewire.org.au, and if they go there, then they can just sign up instantly, and then we just do a verification on them and make sure that they're the right sort of people to go inside and have the parents verify if they're under 18, or otherwise they do an ID check. And that gets you then right into the community. And the reason we do that extra step is because we really want it to be a safe place for kids to be in, and we want the parents to feel confident that if their child is inside the site, that everything is going to be okay.
Do regular people know that this sort of thing is needed?
Yeah, what we hear is a lot of people tell us there's a lot of apprehension, and especially for some of these young people who have a chronic condition or a serious illness. Parents tend to be extra protective because they don't think they may have the same social skills and understand what may go on online. So we really took that on board, and we talked to clinicians and others who say, look, for them to be able to support this and to feel really confident about LiveWire being inside hospitals and to have it at home and to advise young people and the parents to get the young people on, they wanted that sense of security. So we've done that as a way of ensuring it. And then on top of that, the Australian Federal Police also has a rigorous training program that they put our own chat room hosts through. And they're the ones that are on there all the time with the kids. So the kids are never left alone in a chat room. And we make sure we monitor the discussions and that they're fine.
So it's a fairly new program. What sort of feedback have you had so far?
Look, the program is actually piloted for over a year, so we've had a pretty good sense of where the young people want to take this. And so what we've established is really the capabilities that they've said that they would like to see. So 850 is our current number, but that's with us just doing a few of the tweaks on the original site and creating some new capability. But as of today, it starts new. We have new capabilities, new features, new news, new content and games available. So we think that we're actually going to really take it to a different level.
Now, you mentioned, Omar, that you've got 850 users so far, but from what I saw in the presentation, that's only with two hospitals, Canberra and Randwick.
Yeah, but most of these kids are still logging in at home. But to your point, many of them are actually... We're finding them in hospitals, and they might be signing up in a hospital,
and then they're continuing on.
And then they're continuing home. And that's the part of the idea, is that we'll be, not only be trying to connect them when they're in hospital or letting them know about LiveWire, but also when they're at home, they can find out about it. And working with other organizations like the Spastic Center and others who can also distribute this information. And they're just thrilled about having this capability for their members because they have no ability to know as to where they should go. And they know that social support is an absolutely essential part of the well-being of these young people.
If you're sick and you suddenly get better, do you get banished from the program?
No, look, I think once you're in, we basically count you as a member for as long as you want to be there. So the reality is that we want people to feel that this is their place and a support mechanism for them. So even if they're after 21 years old, we're not going to kick them out, but they may realize that they don't,
Well, they may not want to, but on the other hand, I can see some of them, we saw Tam, I can see Tam in 4, 5, 8 years' time. She's going to be mentoring some of the younger kids. I can just see that in her, and I think that's going to be wonderful.
Yeah, well, I think that's a good point, because part of the program is actually to take some of these people like her who are so interested in being part of this community to actually let them become the moderators.
Yeah.
So we hope that this community actually begins to build on itself, and then people who want to stick around can become moderators and may actually be online and have a long-term relationship with LiveWire.
So what's the future of a program like this?
Look, we don't know where it's going to end, but we know we have lots of work to do, so we want to have, obviously, the site to be better and more interesting, and we want to have more blogs to keep all the young people engaged, and we'll be offering also special chats with celebrities and sport people inside. So we're going to build that part up, but at the same time, we're also trying to get into more hospitals, as we alluded to earlier. So we're into two hospitals currently, in Canberra and Randwick, but we're about ready to go into Westmead. We've been talking to John Hunter in Newcastle. We're soon to go into Victoria, into Western Australia, into Brisbane. So we're going to get into at least 7 hospitals under the current funding in the program, and that means that we'll have bedside access for any of the young people in those hospitals. And then when they go home, of course, they can continue to connect. But on top of that, and one of the more exciting features that is coming is, of course, to offer LiveWire on a phone, telephone, or mobile device. And so we're already in the trial phase of showing how that would work.
Well, what kid doesn't have a mobile phone?
Well, that's right. So we think this is on the go is a really important part because, you can't always have access to a full broadband network. So what we're trying to do is make sure that they'll have access to wherever they are.
There we are. We're sitting in a classroom at school, and we're...
That's right.
Tell us. You're going to get into trouble for that.
Oh, yeah. We won't want to know about all of those details. But look, and we're also going to make sure that we'll subsidize the cost, so we'll actually pay for the downloads, certainly in this initial phase, that we'll take care of that so the parents and the young people themselves don't have to worry about the cost of downloads on their mobile.
I don't want to get a 3,000-page phone bill.
No, look, this is really about...
helping people.
Yeah, that's right, not for helping people. So we're really trying to make this a community that feels a bit special, but at the same time really feels like it's a normal thing for young people to do and let them build up their own self-confidence and sense of belonging to a real social community.
Omar Khalifa from Livewire talking to us there almost 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, about 2 weeks ago. He's a very interesting gentleman.
Very nice guy.
The discussion went on for a little bit longer than that.
Yeah, we had to cut that down a bit, actually.
Yeah. But fascinating gentleman, and the enthusiasm that he had for the project was just wonderful. You could tell that he was in love with what he was doing.
But it wasn't just him. That was the thing. There were more people there. There were kids who were actually part of the program who were there, and based off, I'm unsure if we're allowed to broadcast that, so I didn't grab that. However, we did grab someone who was more passionate than I expected. He's from the Australian Federal Police. He's not someone I would... They're not someone I would normally see passionate about something like this.
No, this was quite surprising.
Yeah, the Acting National Manager of High-Tech Crime Operation. Big title. I hope that's not on his business card. Commander
His business card runs to 7 pages.
Yeah, he's part of the 3,000-page bill we were talking
that's
about
right.
there. Commander Neil Gagan, we got a brief thing just to show how passionate they were.
Let's listen to Neil Gagan.
I suppose the importance from our perspective and what makes this unique compared to most other sites in Australia and probably overseas, I think we would find, is that it is a secure and it is a safe site. And I can't stress the importance of that. So from our perspective, I think the message clearly needed to get out to the parents that this is a secure site and their kids will be safe on there. They will enjoy it. They will actually get some interaction with other people. And I think that's really important. I mean, the internet now is the playground of the youth. Most of us in this room are probably old enough that we started to play in the backyard or something like that. Kids now use the internet. So it's really important that we actually provide a safe and secure environment for our kids. And this site does that. We know because we've been involved in it.
Commander Neil Gagan from the Australian Federal Police there. You were playing in the backyard of the early days of the internet. You were probably one of the first people in Australia to play.
Me? Yes, I know.
I was playing in the backyard of the internet. You were probably playing in the backyard of the bulletin boards. And
Even you used bulletin boards, which was the forerunner of what we see today as the modern internet.
When you think of the security that this thing has, I mean, you're probably the best person in the studio, at least right now, to explain the security, how pivotal this security really is.
Yes, and we shall talk about that after we listen to this next piece of music. Boy Kill Boy, this is Be Somebody.
Radio 2RDJ, this is the Gadget Grill with Lee and Gary Stark, and we were just talking about Livewire.
Yeah, let's continue on with the security model that they have.
There's a lot more to it than just what you heard from that interview of Omar Khalifa.
Oh, yes.
And from what Neil Gagan, a little clippet of what Neil Gagan, he was really passionate up there.
Oh, you know, to see the federal police up there and supporting this was absolutely amazing. The security model that they've got set up, what they've done is they've gone in, they've got their own intranet set up, and while there's no such thing as anything that is totally secure, to get into it, you've got to get in, and within the hospitals, they're set up in Randwick Prison, the Children's Hospital at Randwick and in the Canberra Hospital.
Possibly more soon.
And a lot more to come soon. They go in and they put in their own infrastructure and their own network within the hospital so that you can't actually get access to it from there, within the hospitals, from outside. You actually have to join up, use their hardware, and they get in via their own internal services, which is a very good way of attempting to secure what's happening, with internally trained moderators and everything being moderated and looked after. It helps give a reasonably secure model. So I think they've done a fairly good job in that regard.
There's also the secondary security model, which is that you can't just join up. Once you join up, you have to have basically a doctor's permission slip, more or less saying you are sick.
Correct.
You're not this. You can't join up without a condition, basically.
No.
So this really helps to weed out the people that would be bad influences, the ones that the news would normally comment on being, you know, the bad influences of society.
Within the context of what they're doing, that gives them a lot more security, a lot more stability, a lot of strength in terms of what they're wanting to do.
It should be noted that from what we could tell, you could sign up without a permission slip, but you wouldn't get access to the community.
You only get partial access.
Yeah,
you only see a little bit.
You can play the games that are on there, but you can't actually talk to the people per se. You can't get their blogs, which is what this is. It's an important sort of system. These kids are blogging their experiences. They're writing. They're getting life skills in writing and what whatnot.
Yes.
Which is something that they otherwise wouldn't actually be getting.
Right. Within the hospital, they're actually setting up their own hardware as well.
This was pretty cool to look at,
this
actually.
Was very cool. They've got little trolleys, the sort of trolleys that you see next to a bed that you eat your meals off and so on, that sort of stuff. But they're customized. They've got locks on them, and within the locking mechanism is contained a laptop computer of some sort.
We saw mostly MSIs and HPs out there.
Yeah, they've got charging stations built into them so that the machines can be used. They're fully wireless enabled so that you can wheel one of these up to the bed of your unwell child, and your child will be on the internet talking to other children with similar afflictions.
Hopefully not across the room.
Well, in fact, they actually found somebody like that.
Yeah, and you might be wondering, hygiene. What do they do for hygiene? What if you get sick? What if you sneeze or cough, just like my producer did, on the keyboard? Well, they've set up these screens with plastic
skins,
and they've put the skins over the keys. And we tried using a touchpad. They've also got these really interesting trackball mechanisms that you use in one hand. They weren't comfortable for me, but they'd be comfortable for some small hands.
I was very impressed with how these work. They've got a little... the main mouse button works under your index finger, which fits into a hole at the top end of the device. It was really quite an interesting design, and I wouldn't actually mind having one of these as a normal mouse.
We'll try and get you one, Dad. Yeah.
Thank you, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move right along now. We've got Flyleaf.
Yeah, they're normally a hard rock band, so this is a softer song for them. This is Supernatural. Radio 2RDJ, this is the last few minutes of the Gadget Grill with Lee and Gary Stark, and as usual, I'm looking for a way to completely embarrass myself.
And why not, indeed?
We think we found one, to our one listener.
Oh, yes.
Yes. I'm going to attempt to play our useless app of the week.
This is, instead of a useless gadget this week, Lee has managed to find an application that is... less than useful.
You know, I did try finding a useless gadget, and I almost found the $20 electronic Venus flytrap at Kmart.
Electronic Venus flytrap.
Yeah, because, okay. You know, because Venus flytraps are bad for children and whatnot.
Right.
So this is for free. It's the for the iPhone and iPod Touch. It's the JawHarp. You might have to turn me up a bit.
Okay, we might have to turn you up. What we may have to do is we have to make sure that Colin's listening to this, because we know Colin is an aficionado of the JawHarp. Oh, there we go.
It's not really changing anything. I'm not really getting a...
I can hear that.
Yeah, but I'm not really getting a different sort of sound, you know? Oh, yeah, there we go.
Yeah, but for the listener... watch your radio very closely, and you'll see that Lee has got his iPhone up to his mouth. He looks like he's about to swallow it.
I'm not going to say what I actually think I'm doing to my iPhone, because that would be really bad, and I'm not. I think I'd get thrown off the air for doing that.
Yes, I've never heard of anybody giving... No, I won't say that.
Mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. That's what you were thinking, mouth-to-mouth resuscitation.
Close, but no cigar. Well, cigar comes close, too.
Yeah, especially...
Hi, Monica.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we'll give that one a miss, shall we? It is a most use. Could you imagine using that in your recording studio in your John Williamson recordings?
Don't give people an idea that they very well might. That's the
after last week's show. Yeah, with a good condenser mic, that might work.
Yeah, that was working pretty well on these.
Yeah, no.
And these are Beyers. They're not bad.
They're not bad. No, these are good quality, high quality Dynamics.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was the... What was it again?
It was the JawHarp. It was... I'll just find out who made this quickly. Maui Media Lab.
Maui Media Lab.
It's free on the App Store. So
it is worth every cent that you didn't pay for it.
No, you can't hear me. I've turned you down.
Yeah. Ah, well, I guess that brings the Gadget Grill for this week to a...
close.
To a close, yes.
And next week, should we say what we're talking about next week?
I think we should talk about what we're going to talk about next week. So next week we can talk about what we said we're going to talk about this week next week.
Okay. next week we're talking about voice over IP. Next week we're talking about things like Skype and why people are actually using voice over IP.
We're going to talk about how you can save money making phone calls. We should do it the way the Current Affairs shows on
Look,
the TV.
Look, I personally don't think you should talk because the VoIP at our home is flaky at best, but we're talking about that next week. In any case, I'm Lee Stark.
I am Gary Stark.
We'll talk about Skype and VoIP next week. This is The Hollies.
Long, cool woman in a black dress.
Have a good week, everyone.
Have a great week.
Don't get sick. Thank you.